Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome
Welcome. Welcome. I tell you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. We're live, folks, and we've been prepping for this one. It just wouldn't do for me to be sitting on my couch here with my special guest today, just enjoying you all and having you all enjoy my energy. Oh, did I not mention? My name is Daryl Clark, and you're at the right place at the right time. Here at Progressive News Weekly, we can bring you news and information that's gathered from across our borders here in the United States and even beyond on occasion. It's news that's intended to inspire you and encourage you, of course, empower you, and instill you to get involved and make a difference. We're not talking heads here. We're about action, A-C-T-I-O-N. And this evening is no exception. So I implore you to sit back, put on the seat belt, so to speak, because you're going to have to hold on. Our guest today, who is a relatively frequent guest, I'm always pleased to have on because he brings it, as we say sometimes, straight, no chaser, right from the hip, you know, ready, fire. But before we get into that, I'd be remiss just to talk about a few things that's been on my mind. And this will be a time, if you'd like, to speak about what's on your mind, what's happening in your neighborhoods, what's happening in your, better put, communities. So if you'd like to comment and you have dialed 347-838-9142, simply press 1 on your touch tone pad and we'll be sure to get you in queue to express yourself. For those of you who are music mongols or going back a few years, remember that song, Express Yourself. That's what we're about here on Progressive News Weekly. Many, or actually most of the topics that we discuss here, you don't hear on mainstream media. And if you do, it's not given the attention it deserves. Or if it's even aired, it's presented with some spin or political or business interest. We don't play those games here. As I said, we bring it straight, no chaser. And our evening guest and friend and colleague is going to do just that this evening. But as I said, before going there, happy February, the month of Valentine's, month of love, Black History Month, you know, that short month. But we celebrate Black History every month here at Progressive News Weekly. We're about keeping it real all the time. And so, with that said, since we do have this month that's been highlighted for African Americans, this month you'll see programs that are specifically geared towards African Americans. Tonight, no exception. For those of you on the mail list, you know who our special guest is. You should have gotten a notice sometime today. If you're not on the mail list, or your colleagues or friends are not on the mail list, well, if you are on the mail list, of course, you should be forwarding that to your colleagues and friends. But if you're not, just drop me an email to Daryl, that's D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ C-L-A, 18 at msn.com, and I'll add you to the list, and you'll be privy to who our guest is and what our topic will be for the upcoming week, or in the case of today, this evening. we're going to discuss health, so important in the Black community, as in all communities, but we are going to discuss health from the perspective of all, but specifically in the Black community. You see, there are certain, I like to refer to them as a naturopath, as my colleagues and I do, as imbalances, dis-eases. And there are those specific imbalances that are prevalent in the Black community, i.e. high blood pressure. And there are issues with the prostate as well. So there are certain things that are disproportionately affecting our communities. Another that we're beginning to see more and more of is kidney disease. Yes, we're seeing these dialysis centers popping up in our neighborhoods more and more. So we're going to have some discussion about that this evening. Also, I'd be remiss to say we're still feeling some of the, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, we're still feeling and under the influence of those energies of that astrological and astronomy phenomena of a full supermoon. Full supermoon. And we had a lunar eclipse earlier in the week. So a lot of energies flowing here. And this is no hoopla, bamboozle, hoodwink stuff. This is the real deal. I've done a lot of research over the last two decades, and it's unquestionable that the lunar celestial bodies do affect us as humans. And you can do your own research, as I always express and encourage you to do. So, yeah, there are lunar energies that are very prevalent right now. And, of course, you can use them for your benefit. And those who happen to be on a different mindset of a more of a negative sense, they use them as they see fit too. So for our listeners, I'm really encouraging you, if you have a project or something that you've been thinking about doing, now this is a good time to move forward with that activity, because the energies are flowing right now. So try to just get still somewhere in the course of the day and be quiet and just slow down and take that deep breath from the upper and lower lungs for, if nothing else, 1 or 2 minutes, hopefully more like at least 5 or 6 minutes, but at least for 2 or 3 minutes, and just relax and think about that thing or those things that you've wanted to do that's progressive, that would be good for you and or your loved ones. And you'd be surprised how the energy will flow to your mind and you'll come up with approaches in order to manifest those things. Yes, we are still under the supermoon. By the way, for those who don't understand, a blue moon means that you have 2 full moons occurring in a single month, because normally we only have 1 moon that occurs in a month. And then a supermoon simply means that the proximity of the moon during that particular cycle of its evolution, and we know the moon revolves around the Earth, happens to be about 30% closer. So it's even more energies there. And again, it's unquestionable whether you want to say, I don't believe in that or not. You know, this isn't religion. This isn't someone trying to burn leaves or twigs or chicken feet or anything. This is scientific. It's just a matter of fact. We're 70% water. The water unquestionably involves a female cycle, and it involves our tides that come in and go out. So why wouldn't it affect us? Any emergency room professional will tell you that there is a significant increase in activity during that time. So utilize these energies. I just wanted to get that out. I'd be remiss if I did not share that with you, because that's what we're about, and that's sharing. And it's a good time for you and your loved ones, as I said, your children, your proteges, mentors, to engage in that. So back to our program for this evening. Our guest is none other than Mr. Tony Grant. Now, Mr. Grant is a broadcast journalist specializing in medical research, and he's been at this for, oh boy, I want to say nearly half a century. I think since the mid-60s. So he comes, you know, well-equipped with the information that he has to bring us, and he has a plethora of information. But tonight, he and I were talking, and we decided let's try to focus in on one or two, maybe three things. We'll take your questions as we always do, but we wanted to focus on a few things health-wise in regard to those chemicals or medicines, if you will, on the market to be aware of that are put on the market supposedly to help with certain health issues. And we're going to focus on a couple of health issues that are somewhat prevalent in the African American, the black community. And I think that ties in perfectly with Black History Month. And we're going to come back again in the month later and touch up on a couple of other health issues. And if you have any issues that you'd be interested in us discussing, reach out to me, let me know. You have my email. Give me a call, and or join us tonight. You can dial in at 347-838-9142. Press 1 if you haven't done that already, and we'll certainly take your questions. So, as I said, what are some of those health issues that predominate in the African-American community? As our bumper tune, Bob Marley, for those of you who are wondering, who was that? That was Bob Marley, the one and only, entitled Wake Up and Live. And that tune goes back several decades. So, isn't it relevant and current today? Anyway, that's a whole other topic. We're going to be doing our music series again later in this month as well. So, with that said, I bring you Mr. Tony Grant, and we're going to have a lively discussion. Mr. Grant, are you there?
Good evening, Brother Clark. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well, very well, especially hearing your voice. You know, we're live, and, well, Tony, you and I have been through some things over the years, so in regard to live radio, where sometimes things just don't work out. So hearing your voice, I'm doing very well, because I've been looking forward to this one. And I'm looking forward to following up on some other topics later on in the month. But for this evening, we were, you know, just discussing that certain disorders, imbalances, diseases are more prevalent in the African American community. And we're talking about a couple, such as high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, prostate issues in the case of men. So what would you like to share with us with regard to either one of those to kind of kick this dialogue off?
Yes, thank you, Brother Darrell. It's no question that we've reached a point where our public health officials have convinced the black community that it's inevitable that you're going to get one of these diseases. And we ought to ask ourselves a question, because as a people, we know over the years that we have been subjected to less than optimum information, less than, you know, we've been encouraged to believe things that are not good for us, and we've been encouraged to believe in people who are not really on our side. And so the slick and powerful, expensive advertising campaigns that are supporting drug medicine I know, as a people, we want the best medicine. We want to get the medicine that everyone else is getting. But the corrupt governmental regulatory machinery, the FDA, the CDC, the public health officials, they support the idea that drugs are your best medicine. And everything taught in medical school is devised to hide the science that validates a superior form of medicine that actually, in the case of high blood pressure, is curing high blood pressure. Now, we're not talking about those infomercials that come on at 2 o'clock in the morning, although I'm not saying all those are bad. We're talking about MDs who are taking patients with high blood pressure, and then when they're done, that patient never has high blood pressure again, never has to take a drug. Now, this is something you're not supposed to know about. You're not supposed to know about this. And if you hear about it on this humble radio show, you're supposed to say, how can that be? All these people who have gone to school for nearly a decade to become doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and medical technicians, how can they fail to know about cures for something like hypertension? So the problem is that we need to be aware, more than anyone else, that medical care in this country is governed by a group of people who have powerful motivations to sell drugs. And the little history course I'm going to give, and I think I can do it in 90 seconds, the history course that we never get in school because they give us really pseudo-history in school. They don't tell us the truth. But if they told us the truth, history class would be interesting. But in December, on the 28th of December in 1908, a man named Henry Pritchett was in New York for an historical meeting. Now, we know this all took place. This is not a conspiracy theory because they kept minutes of the meeting, and the minutes have survived. Now, this event is known to medical historians who are determined to pay attention to such things. But Henry Pritchett was in New York that day, 28th of December, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to meet the members of the Council on Medical Education. Now, these were not learned and erudite men. These were a bunch of cutthroat doctors and false doctors, abortionists, who were trying to take over control of the medical educational system in America. Henry Pritchett was there to meet them because he was representing a billionaire, the owner of the Sterling Drug Company, and he offered to help the men in that room to take over the American educational system. See, at that time in 1908, there were doctors who were still practicing bloodletting. The doctors would be recommending bloodletting for a cold. They would feed their patients toxic drugs made from mercury. And to induce violent diarrhea and regurgitation, they would tell the patient, oh, you're getting well now, I see the diarrhea. That's the level these men were on. They would not ever use natural medicine. It was a problem for them because in 1908, most Americans preferred natural medicine. And so a deal was made that day, I know I've exceeded my 90 seconds, to buy off every medical school in the country. You can buy a book called The Drug Story by Morris Beale that can tell you how much money Harvard took, Yale Medical School, Johns Hopkins, Tulane, Stanford, everybody bought in, and the drug companies took over the medical system. And so your doctor is never going to learn anything in medical school but drugs. Your doctor doesn't know about the cure for hypertension. And so all of these things that are afflicting us, we never, ever get to the cause. Ask your doctor if you're taking a hypertension drug, and we can talk about those, what causes my hypertension, doctor? And your doctor will give you some sort of clever sidestep because your doctor has not been taught what causes blood pressure. You can be sure that the cause of blood pressure is not addressed by the drug. I have here just briefly the so-called side effects of the high blood pressure drug lisinopril. Lisinopril is interesting to us, I think, because lisinopril is synthetic snake poison. And I'm not going to go down the list. It's too long. Blurred vision, cloudy urine, confusion, decrease in urine output, decrease in kidney function, dizziness, faintness, lightheadedness, sweating, unusual tiredness, abdominal stomach pain, body aches or pain, chest pain. This is all because you're trying to be well, cough, diarrhea, difficulty breathing. I get to the important stuff here. No libido, impotence, inability to have or keep an erection, lack or loss of strength, loss of sexual ability, loss of sexual desire, loss of sexual performance. All this because the drug companies have taken over our medical educational system, and no one knows that this condition, hypertension, can be cured using non-toxic drug-free protocols.
Let me ask you, Tony, what was the name of the book that Morris Beall wrote?
It's called The Drug Story, B-E-A-L-L-E, The Drug Story. Morris Beall was an interesting man. He was an independently wealthy newspaper editor, having a wonderful time editing and profiting from his newspaper when he decided to tell the truth, not knowing it would cause problems, about a certain pharmaceutical. And at that point, he got a call from the advertising agency, said, you know, you're in trouble now with the FDA and the CDC, and he stopped being a publisher and just became an independent writer, exposing all the corruption that's being hidden from you. See, you all can have a laugh on me, because I used to be one of those guys who believed every word in the New York Times. The New York Times is not telling you the truth. We all think, from what we've been, our conditioning, I used to think that if there's a cure for hypertension, that's a major disease breakthrough. It's going to be a headlines in the New York Times and a ticker tape parade down Broadway and a Nobel Prize. But the cure for hypertension has been known for decades. Have we heard anything about it in the news? We have to stop depending on the news. We have to dig deeper.
Morris Beall on Amazon.
Morris Beall, yes. So yeah, these are books. Morris Beall was writing decades ago, so the book is becoming more and more difficult to get.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I was just looking it up. You have to check that. Catch it now. You know, when we get these factoids, listeners, from our guests, such as the esteemed Mr. Tony Grant, you know, he is well respected nationwide for his research acumen. We need to jump on this. I've had scenarios, Mr. Grant, where we've had leads to different articles and books that I've seen them, where I could actually get my hands on them, and a month later, after airing it, I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's serious.
There's no question that there is an effort to make these valuable information resources unavailable. It's not convenient to have people who know walking around being able to say, no, what the officials are telling you is not right. No, what the experts are telling you is wrong. It's and especially being able to back it up with research. And so it's much easier for them just to make these books disappear. There's a book that I want to get online, but you can find some of those books, maybe you've noticed, that are really good, that are hard to get. They're available for $9,000, $7,000, $5,000, because the people who have made a decision to make that book unavailable have bought up all the copies. So we should be aware. Now, I want to talk a little bit about calcium channel blockers, if I can. It's a category of blood pressure drugs.
You have the air. You have the mic, please.
Okay. Before we go into prostate, we have four basic kinds of hypertension drug: the calcium channel blockers, the beta blockers, the ACE inhibitors, and the diuretics. We've all heard about the water pills. And I just want us to take a little breezy overview. Water pills, as we know, are drugs that make you urinate so there's less water in your arteries. Just like a garden hose, when you turn the force of the spigot down, there's less water in the hose. The problem is that when you take a diuretic, now you're going to be in for a problem that comes from you have less water in your blood than was intended. You're going to feel weakness and muscle cramps and skin rash and diarrhea and joint pain, and you're going to have difficulty because even though these drugs are given to us to help our cardiovascular system, less water means thicker blood. Thicker blood is more difficult for the heart to pump, and it's more difficult for the blood to get into all the spaces it needs to get into, so your circulation is going to be more poor, and every day you take this diuretic, you're causing your heart to work harder. I mentioned before that Prenevil, the one I listed some of the problems with, is a synthetic snake poison. There's an entire category of high blood pressure drugs that are nothing but man-made snake poison: Acupril, Acyon, Altase, Capitan, Lotensin, Monopril, Prenevil we talked about before, Prenizide, Univasc, Vasoteric, Vasotec. These are synthetic snake poisons. They're nothing but synthetic snake venom. Why? Because when you get bit by a snake, a poisonous snake, your blood pressure can drop so low it can kill you. And so some clever pharmacologist said, hey, why can't we use this stuff as a blood pressure drug? But of course, when you take that kind of drug, you get all the toxic reactions. You get dizziness, lightheadedness, headache, potassium loss, kidney damage, heart damage from potassium loss. This is a drug that's supposed to help you with your cardiovascular system by lowering your blood pressure, but it's giving you heart damage, skin rashes, suppression of bone marrow. That's where your blood is manufactured. So it's interference with the manufacture of blood cells, life-threatening allergic reactions, diarrhea, loss of appetite. That's the ACE inhibitor, or so-called, that's what they call it. I'm going to call it the artificial snake venom category. And last, I won't talk about all of them. We'll talk about the calcium channel blockers. The calcium channel in your cells is a cell that is important. It's vital. It's a channel that's vital for the transfer of energy so that the cell can have energy. And what calcium channel blockers do is they block that channel so that your heart and your heart cells have less energy so that the heart cannot pump as forcefully. Now your heart is pumping weaker. Your blood pressure goes down. Now, I don't know why we should think that's good. Swelling of the ankles, swelling of the abdomen, lethargy, heartburn, exhaustion, difficulty swallowing, constipation, allergic reactions, fluid retention, dizziness, and they find that a whole category of impotence, men taking this Procardia, at least Procardia is one of these calcium channel blockers, appear to cause, infertility. So men taking Procardia for their high blood pressure are becoming infertile. And all of this when the cure for high blood pressure is available to those who know how to find the doctors who are doing the cure without using toxic drugs. It's something that we as black people need to look at as the same way we looked at civil rights. We should not be subjected to all these toxic drugs and have the true remedies hidden from us. We should not allow this to continue to happen just because the drug industry controls the medical system.
You know, it's interesting, Tony. I mean, just some of the statistics, you have to say, okay, were we just born with this disposition? And, you know, there are those that would try to convince us of such. But when you look at the statistics that, you know, black women are, you know, 49% possibility of risk of cardiovascular disease, but white women are 32%. That's pretty drastic. Black men, 44%, where white men is 37% risk for cardiovascular disease. I mean, you know, between the ages of 45 and 64, black men have a 70% higher risk of developing heart failure than white men, and women a 50% greater risk than white women. So, I mean, those are startling. We're not talking 10 or 15%. I said 70%. And so we've got to be a bit more educated. And that's why, again, I played that opening bumper tune. It's time for us to wake up. And not just wake up, but wake up and live. You see, it goes without saying, the African-American race, contrary to what some would have us believe, and we could go into some history on this, but not for this particular show, that we are as or more intelligent than any other being on the planet. And I say or more sort of with tongue-in-cheek, because we can go back to, you know, the pyramids and where the Pythagorean theorem really came from and those kinds of things. But this isn't a history lesson again tonight. Do we excel in sports? Do we excel in science when given an opportunity? So the world knows us even better than we do. Am I saying maybe this is some kind of general thing? Is it a coincidence that we're the last hired and first fired, that our income is some 30% minimum less than average counterparts? These are all things that affect your health. These are things because with that comes a lack of education. And if we're not educated, then we don't know. And that's segueing back to Mr. Grant, because he started out saying it's important for us to know. Back to you, Mr. Grant. Tony, go ahead.
You're 100% right, Brother Darrell, and that's a very good and revealing overview of the statistics. We could probably do an interesting survey if we went down to the supermarket and we checked out the shopping baskets of the African Americans coming through there. You know, it might be said that in America, where it's you know, it's really a free-for-all. You know, Dunkin' Donuts, the Starbucks, I mean, most people don't pay attention to what they're eating in America, although we all want to be healthy and we all want to lose weight. As intelligent medical consumers, we are not really finally ready to admit that the American public is really being deliciously deceived by the slick advertising and devilishly clever food marketing that convinces unsuspecting consumers to engage in this daily ritual of slow suicide as they gradually kill themselves with every meal. And the point I'm making is that at black people, with the statistics standing against us, we should be strongest as a group who says, no, we're not standing for it anymore. We want the right kind of food. We're going to make the right kinds of choices. We're not going to just go for taste. We're going to go for high nutrient, high vitamin, high level, the best food we can get so we can provide our children with the best future that they can get. These should be our militant, this should be a militant stand. We should be standing against GMOs. We should be standing against pesticides, herbicides. We should be a block that's saying, no, we demand, and of course this only comes if we're willing to make the right choices in the supermarket. Some of these supermarkets in our neighborhoods, their offering would be overhauled and completely change if we would just eat differently. Now, I know that there are some supermarkets in the black neighborhood where it seems incorrigible, where they sell nothing but the worst food, the worst quality produce. Nobody wants to buy an apple or an orange in some of these places with the lowest quality produce. However, we can change that. And it means that we have to become militant again, militant about our health. It means that everyone should be saying, oh, those are black people over there. They really watch what they buy. All those folks with the shopping baskets full of green leafy vegetables, those are all the black folks. That's how they eat. But that's not the tradition that we have now. We used to have a better tradition in the past, but we don't have that tradition. And so when we talk about the prospect that it's all genetic, I resist that. We can completely explode the whole genetic as the cause of the prostate condition. That's been completely exploded. And also the genetic cause of breast cancer has been completely debunked. And so even though I don't have the ammunition to discuss the genetic, the possible genetic route of hypertension, I think we should take another look at how we are functioning and eating before we blame it on genetics. Oh, it's just genetics. There's nothing can be done. That's what they want you to do. They want you to throw in the towel and say, there's nothing I can do.
Wow. Are you there, Mr. Grant?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm simply saying that it's really...
I thought I heard a beep on the phone. No,
I'm still here.
We have
to take action.
I totally appreciate what you're saying, and the sad part, you know, all of this is it can be avoided significantly. You know, that's the piece. We're sort of our own worst enemy. We can skew that. We can change that simply by educating ourselves, and that's why this forum is so important. And I can't express enough week in and week out, as I say every week, why we need to be sharing. I often say, if we're not sharing, we're not caring. And it's disheartening. It really is. When I tune into a program, I catch something, I go to work the next day, or if I'm talking to a relative or friend, I say, did you hear about that show? Did you catch that show on C-SPAN? Or did you catch that show on PBS? It was really exposing... You know how, you know, bad it really was with the Tuskegee experiment, but we don't do that enough in our own community. I can remember the first time I heard Arsenio or saw him on television. I was actually traveling with a colleague from work. We had an assignment out of state, and we were hanging out at night, and we were just watching a tube, and he came on, and I said, I know him. I went to school with him. And so he said, really? I said, yeah. So I got on the phone immediately, and I started calling friends and my family and said, hey, do you see this guy? I said, this black guy is a black host on television. It's a black Johnny Carson. And I couldn't spread the news enough. That's what I remember. And, of course, I'm not saying that I've contributed to you know, success, but I'm sure if I just brought on a couple hundred people to his awareness. That's what we need to do, folks. You need to be spreading this information, because you're not going to get necessarily this kind of news everywhere. So we appreciate the likes of a Tony Grant, who's coming with the research knowledge that he's coming with. We appreciate him.
Well, thank you very much, Daryl. I think it's very valuable, the service you provide. You create a platform. There aren't many places where you can go and hear the truth. And, you know, when you have conversations about medicine, usually you have to call in a doctor. And, I mean, that's what people normally do. And doctors are not in a position to be able to debunk or to in any way denigrate what they've learned in medical school. It's just not something that they do. Most doctors believe what they've learned. However, when you pull back the curtain and look behind the scenes, you find out that the science isn't there. When you ask someone, a black guy, a brother, about PSA test or about the prostate, can you hear me, Daryl? I hear some noise in the background.
Yes, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. When you ask them about prostate, there are a lot of us who can't even locate our prostates. The prostate can be located and palpated outside the body. And then men who have gone to get the PSA test ask them, well, what is PSA? And it's just a test you go get to see if you have cancer. That's all that they want you to think that it is. PSA is an acronym for prostate-specific antigen. And the levels of prostate-specific antigen that we hope to have in our blood so that we don't have too much, so the doctor won't start really probing and doing biopsies, they say is 4. That's the level that's supposed to be in your blood. But there's no truth to that whatsoever. Your level can be 5, 6, 7, and you can still be perfectly healthy. Prostate-specific antigen is not an unhealthy substance. You cannot successfully be potent enough to impregnate a female if you don't have PSA in your bloodstream. PSA makes you able to make your intended loved one to become pregnant. So PSA is not an ugly stuff. PSA is not some kind of viral or vermin. It's something that you need, and I don't think many of us know that. And when we think about this whole thing about black men being genetically predisposed to get prostate cancer, we simply have to use our heads. This is a very dangerous thing in the world if you use your own brain. When they say to women, well, you've got the cancer gene. You must have got it from your grandmother or from your aunt or, you know, must be in your family. We know that in the year 1900, nobody was getting breast cancer. Nobody was getting breast cancer in the year 1900. It was almost unknown. So if your ancestors had the gene, why weren't they getting the cancer? All these women who are getting their breasts amputated because they're being brave and they're embracing the science, it's all a hoax. There is no breast cancer gene. Now, when it comes to PSA levels, we use the same logic. Where do we find prostate cancer in Africa? You know, where we came from? Prostate cancer is almost non-existent in Africa except for places in the city where people have the opportunity and the money to live a Western lifestyle. Dr. Lionel Cullinell did research on the Japanese who have almost a zero incidence of prostate cancer. But when they come to Hawaii, the Japanese love Hawaii, they form businesses in Hawaii, they become citizens after they migrate to Hawaii. He did research and found that after they come to America, their prostate cancer levels rise to be equal to that of regular white Americans because they start to eat like us and behave like us. Prostate cancer is the result of poor dietary, poor health habits. And the other thing we have to remember, and that is that your doctor is poised and ready, if you're black, for you to have prostate cancer. I was making a presentation in Manhattan on the radio, and the engineer came to me during a break, and he said, look, I need to talk to you. And the conversation he wanted to have was that he was set up for a biopsy because he had had a PSA test, and the PSA, I said, what was your level? And he said, well, it's 4.1. I said, that's nothing. He said, ask your doctor for a PSA velocity test. Every black man should know how to do that. Doc, I'd like to have a PSA velocity test. That's just a fancy name for having two PSA tests 2 to 3 months apart. If you've got cancer, that PSA is going to keep going up, right? But if you don't have cancer, it'll stay flat. Your natural level could be 6. Your healthy PSA level could be 7, could be 8. So he went to his doctor the next day for the biopsy and said, I don't want the biopsy. I want a PSA. I got to know him, so he went, I want a PSA velocity test. And his doctor was angry. And with anger in his voice, he said, we're all set up for a biopsy here. What do you mean? Well, who told you about PSA velocity? As if you're a black man, you're not supposed to know anything. How do you know about a PSA velocity test that really validates whether or not your PSA level is dangerous or not? And the doctor told him, look, we're set up for a biopsy, and we're all set up. And our friend, the black man, said, well, that's okay. I'd rather postpone it and do the velocity test. And so the doctor said, well, that's unwise. I'm your doctor, and it's unwise, and I can't have you as a patient if you won't follow my. And so the doctor rejected him as a patient. He took his medical records to his new doctor, and the new doctor said, after he told him about that episode, your PSA is in 4.1. And he said, what? And here's the record right here. Your PSA is 3.8. Your doctor didn't tell the truth. Because once the doctor saw that here's a black man, I believe at the time he was about 60 years old, and he's so close to 4, the doctor couldn't wait to assume that we should give him a biopsy and find cancer. The New York Times says 1.3 million Americans have been treated for cancer that was never there. They've been treated. They went through the whole process of cancer treatment for cancer they never had. So,
wow.
Cancer among black men may be something that is partially invented by our doctors.
Well, you know, the truth be told, my experience in these 10 years of doing radio and talking to individuals like yourself has led me to not put my faith in the medical profession. And I'm not disparaging it because, frankly, if I were to, which I have done, I'm not proud, to have a power tool injury where you nearly cut something hand or something severely, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in America where I could have sutures and stitches and have it repaired. But when you talk about things such as you're saying, where our bodies have an innate ability to heal itself, or where there are drugs that are involved, I'm very leery. That's me, and I would never take for granted that what a doctor told me, especially with a very serious ailment, was to be taken at heart.
Yes, no question. If I'm a burn victim or if I'm caught in a building collapse, I can't wait for the medevac helicopter to come and take me to the trauma center. But we're not talking about that, are we? We're not talking about those kinds of situations where heroic medicine comes and takes over and repairs the bones and does all. That's something that we can acknowledge our medical system is good at. But as you say, when it comes to preventing disease or to dealing with degenerative conditions, prostate cancer is a very serious condition. However, what we should be doing is working seriously about preventing prostate cancer. Get a copy of Mark Moyad's book, Nutrition for Prostate Cancer. Get a copy of Jesse Stoff's book, The Prostate Miracle, where the nutrition protocols for preventing prostate cancer. You know, it means that you can't just live it up heavy on the gravy, supersize me. You have to change your diet. You have to change the way you live. Why can't black people be the leaders in healthy living and healthy eating? Why can't we be the ones, since we are the greatest victims when it comes to some of these conditions, why can't we be the ones who lead the charge saying, no, this is how I'm going to live and eat so I can stay healthy and strong, my family can stay healthy and strong. But I recommend Moyad's books and also Jesse Stoff's book, The Prostate Miracle, for people who want to have a protocol to prevent prostate cancer.
That's a very, very good heads up on that. I'm going to ask you to slow down on that for our listeners. Would you repeat a couple of those references?
Yes, Jesse Stoff, S-T-O-F-F. His book's called The Prostate Miracle. I'm sure it's probably the overzealousness of his publisher, because that's a fancy name for a book that really has a lot of great information about how, trying to get the name of Moyad. Moyad has written a couple of books, and I'm talking about the one strictly about prostate nutrition. Let's see if I can get that information here. Mark Moyad, M-O-Y-A-D. And I'm trying to get it now. Let's see. Let me try this. Mark Moyad. Okay. It supplements. Let's see. Mark Moyad. Treatment options, 11 things learned about supplements. I'm not saying the books, I'm sorry. The supplement handbook, that's a good book, but that's not the prostate book. Okay, let's go here.
You know, while you're checking that, you know, there are protocols for prostate, but I want to just talk about some of the statistics, you know, speaking of this disproportion. It's almost double. The last statistic I read, I think it was about 250 cases per 100,000 black men compared to about 150 cases per 100,000 Caucasians. I mean, it's almost double.
Yeah, that's an enormous gap.
So you're going to tell me that that's just from being an African American? I mean, you know, one of the things that I talk about whenever I'm talking about health is that it's not the DNA that causes hereditary illnesses; it's the lifestyle. I mean, if you ate, you know, chitlins and so forth, and your mom ate it, and your grandma ate it, well, yeah, I think you'd find a, you know, a prevalence that was within your family tree because of the lifestyle. So back to your point about diet playing a major role in what some folks want to label as hereditary.
Yes,
point well made.
No question. It's something that we don't think of ourselves as capable of being in the forefront because we think of ourselves as people who enjoy eating a certain way. When I used to go to visit my relatives who were all from Alabama, but they were living in the steel mill area, the Rust Belt, in the area of Gary, Indiana, there would be a whole big plate of pork chops in the middle of the table, and, you know, I was visiting with my aunt, and she died of diabetes, and her daughter is a double amputee, and her husband died of a heart attack, and they were very big eaters, but they didn't eat. There was, you know, they ate chitlins. You know, that's how I found out about chitlins when I went to visit my aunt. And so, these traditions, we don't have to maintain these traditions. There are other kinds of food that tastes good. We've all been to restaurants of different ethnic restaurants, Chinese or Italian, and we've enjoyed the food. We can change the kind of way we eat. And who is it that would gain the most? With the kinds of numbers you're talking about, that's a dramatic difference, 125 versus two, almost double the amount of prostate cancer. We're the ones who really change our numbers. We need to change our numbers. And we don't have to think of it as giving up something. Nutritious food tastes good. You know, Wesley Snipes is a vegan with all them karate moves and muscles and all that he does. Because he wants to, you know, when he got out of prison, where he was imprisoned, unfairly, he wanted to be able to have a career long enough to make some of that money, and so he became a vegan. So it doesn't have to be a thing where we think about it as a sacrifice. I mean, I just, you know, I have dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't eat after that, and my dinner at 2 o'clock we had some visitors here at the house about a year ago because they were kind of stranded. They didn't want to go all the way home. It was late at night, and a friend of ours brought them here. And these are regular meat eaters. And they sat down to the vegan meal. They said, "What?" And they weren't playing around. It was two of them. And they really enjoyed the food. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. But my point is that vegan food is not something that you have to feel. If you've been eating vegan food that doesn't taste good, you got the wrong chef. Because all these superstars out here, Halle Berry and Christy Brinkley, and somebody told me I'm so old, I know who she is, but nobody else knows who Christy Brinkley is. She's writing vegan cookbooks. Michelle Pfeiffer and all these old actresses who are competing for roles against the young actresses who are staying young by eating properly, those people can eat wherever they want. They can go to any five-star restaurant or whatever, how many stars, four stars, whatever it is. They can have the thickest cut of Chateaubriand every night for dinner, but they don't. Why not? You think that they're not enjoying their food? We as a people need to be on the front lines of how to eat to have better health. Oh, the name of the book, The ABCs of Nutrition and Supplements for Prostate. The ABCs of Nutrition and Supplements for Prostate by Mark Moyad, Moyad.
All right. Let me just make sure our listeners got that. That was the ABC of Nutrition
ABC. And Supplements for Prostate. And a book that I think you'll really like for the ladies, which is the best book I've ever seen. There are a lot of great books for breast cancer, and this is what we're talking about, prevention, is The Complete Natural Medicine Guide to Breast Cancer by Kaur, K-A-U-R. Practical Manual for Prevention and Care. The Complete Natural Medicine Guide to Breast Cancer by Kaur, K-A-U-R. It's got everything. This is for people who don't want to end up, you know, being offered chemotherapy or radiation. Hmm. You don't want to ever be there. And that should be our position. You know, the medical system has us going to get these exams, PSA test, mammograms, and then they say, okay, well, all right, come back next year and we'll see if you're a candidate for us to make money off of yet. Right? The doctors are not helping your health. When you take a PSA test, that's not preventing cancer. When you get a mammogram, that doesn't prevent cancer. That's the doctor presiding over your gradual demise. No, you don't have cancer yet. Go on, live it up, heavy on the gravy, supersize me, right? And then when you finally come back and you have cancer, now you're a customer. Now we have you. No, nothing about how to prevent it, how to stay healthy. That's not how our system works. I'm not blaming the doctors. They're not taught that. Doctors know zero about nutrition. Ask your doctor about the nutritional cure for high blood pressure. He doesn't know anything about it. It's not his fault. They didn't teach him that in medical school. And if you come to him with a problem and he offers nutrition, he can be sued for malpractice.
Yes, that is so true. And that is a definite fact, and I can attest to that, and knowing a few. And so to our listeners, why not empower yourself? Why not encourage your family and loved ones to consider, because they've been ingrained, especially our elder loved ones. You know, they've been ingrained. I've gone through this. Imagine a nutritionist, someone that knows something that could help a loved one, an auntie or a grandparent, and they're resistant to even listening to you. I've gone through that more than a few times, so I can't express enough. And it's disheartening to see them, you know, transition, perhaps prematurely. But, you know, God would have his way, and I don't like to say that any more than others like to hear it. But you can, you know, they say, take an individual to the water, but them drink. But you can try to educate them to the benefit of that water so that they'll want to drink. And that's going to be our charge going into 2018. So, Mr. Grant, I know you have an engagement coming up, and I know I only have another couple of minutes with you, so I appreciate the time that you do take out, you know, to join us and share with us all the enlightening information. For those who came on late, I mentioned at the top of the program, we'll take a question if there is one. If you dial 347-838-9142, you press 1 on your dial. We'll take one question if there is a question there. I typically get calls afterwards or emails. I was just so enamored, so busy taking notes. Daryl, can you ask Mr. Grant this or that? If you choose to do that and some are just shy, that's fine too. I'll certainly get the question over to Mr. Grant if you have a question program. You can always send me an email or give me a call. But again, Mr. Grant, I appreciate you. And we did mention that we would have, we have one question. We did mention that we would have you back later in the month, and we're going to pick up another couple of topics. And if someone is interested in a topic, let us know. We touched upon a little bit of, you know, cancer. Of course, diabetes is very prevalent in the, disproportionately in the African-American community. So if you'd like us to touch upon a topic that you're interested in, let us know. But tonight we wanted to talk about cardiovascular specifically and prostate. So we do have a question out of Ohio. If that's okay with you, Mr. Grant, can we take one?
By all means.
All right. And I think this is a regular listener. I think I recognize the number. You're on the air with Progressive News Weekly.
Hi.
All right.
Hi. Hey,
what's up? How you doing, sis?
I'm great. How are
what's up,
you?
Sister? What you know? I'm good. How you doing?
All is well. All is well. Hi, Mr. Grant. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. I've listened to you over the years. You've been coming on and appreciated your your wealth of knowledge and perspective on this medical community that we're all so tied to, some loosely, some not. My question has to do with your take on what this whole, on the cholesterol issues. If you've already addressed it, I'll go to the archives, but I had the question before and missed. I wasn't able to get on.
Well,
you know,
certainly.
Now there's so much. I mean, people with cholesterol as low as 130-something or under, well under 200, you know, you're way over, you need medication here. And I've had at least 6 different statins prescribed to me, and I just refuse to take them. And the latest and greatest attempt to get me to take a medication was to revert to niacin, you know. So it's not a drug. So try this, and this will help you. You just, you know, you've got to get this under control. So I'm not real clear. And talking with Daryl, who's knowledgeable, as you know, they're just different views on what high cholesterol really is. I know we need cholesterol in our bodies. So I'd like to know what your take and what your research has shown you.
Well, I mean, I must acknowledge that you are very astute. That's a very astute question. I thank you for your accolades. You and Daryl both laud me too highly. I'm privileged to be before this audience, but you are already very much on the right track. They've been moving the goalposts around regarding cholesterol. You know, it used to be that if you had anything below 300, the doctor said, you're fine. I give you an A for your checkup. You know, don't go any higher. But now, even if you, as you say, if you're 130 or 120, the doctor says, let's make it below 100. And there are lots of problems with this. The number one problem that everyone needs to know regarding cholesterol, and I think we should be aware that we need to be moderate about what we eat, because the oxidized cholesterol in the food that we eat, eggs and meat and milk, pasteurized milk has got oxidized cholesterol because it's all been cooked. That is a danger to our health. However, the problem is that there is a fundamental flaw when it comes to our doctors attempting And that's what they're trained to do. Doctors follow standard practice. They do not follow science. They think they're following science because they think that standard practice is based in science, but it is not. When the latest cholesterol guidelines were set up, a panel of 9 men said, we're going to change the guidelines. I've forgotten the name of the panel. I'm sorry. And who were these 9 men? A bunch of guys, 6 of them, working for the companies that make cholesterol drugs. You see, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says you're fine, you're in the normal range that standard practice tells me to send you home, no problem, and then they move the goalpost, then suddenly we have new customers. Last year or yesterday you're okay, today you're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
6 out of the 9 men on the panel work for cholesterol drug makers, and they by a show of hands, decided to change the numbers. There was no science involved whatsoever. So as I say, you're already on the right track. And here's a nice, juicy statistic, that every year in America, half of the people who have heart attacks have high cholesterol, and the other half have low cholesterol. So seeking to protect you from a heart event by tracking your cholesterol makes no more sense than flipping a coin. It's 50-50. Now, virtually everybody who has a heart attack in America has high homocysteine and high C-reactive protein, something your doctor doesn't learn about in medical school. And you can control your homocysteine with diet. Get any one of the good books by Dr. Kilmer McCulley, who was the one who discovered the homocysteine heart attack connection, a Harvard doctor who has since been ostracized by his profession. Dr. Kilmer McCulley, I'll see if I can find one of the books, but you can control your homocysteine by diet, by good diet, Kilmer McCulley. And this is what we should be trying to do, because the epidemic of heart attacks is happening in spite of the fact that doctors are taught to press cholesterol lower and lower. McCulley is McCulley. Kilmer McCulley. The book is The Heart Revolution, The Extraordinary Discovery That Finally Laid the Cholesterol Myth to Rest. You're quite right. You are an empowered medical consumer. We need cholesterol. We don't need that cooked cholesterol, but we need the cholesterol manufactured in our liver, the pure, unadulterated, non-oxidized cholesterol, because you cannot make estrogen without cholesterol. That's the starting point. You can't make testosterone without cholesterol. You cannot manufacture new tissue. Cholesterol has to be available to make the cell walls. Cholesterol is vital, and all these people who are having their cholesterol pushed down by their doctors who are dutifully following standard practice, they're suffering. They're suffering all the conditions that are come about from not having enough cholesterol. So you actually didn't need me. You already had the answer.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we can thank you for that call from that was from Ohio, of our regular listeners and someone near and dear to me. Mr. Grant, I can't thank you enough. You took that call, and I know you're pressed. You have an international conference coming up in the next few minutes. So I'm going to push you off the phone, because I will not overdo my welcome with you, my friend, my colleague, my mentor. We appreciate you. We care about you. We look forward to you joining us again later in the month, when we'll be discussing another or other health issues prevalent in the Black community that are misnomers.
It'll be my pleasure.
It'll
be my pleasure.
We certainly appreciate
you, Darryl, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come before your highly astute audience.
Well, thank you again. And be blessed. Well, for those of you who joined us late, we had the fine opportunity this evening of, and you'll have to get the archives if you did join us late, because Mr. Grant brought it, as he always does, real live and with no holds barred. But Mr. Grant is truly a treat. He's a broadcast journalist for over 40 years, specializing in medical research,
He's the co-author of the Immune Power Program and the Statin Damage Report. And he's been featured on numerous programs across the country, WWRL, WBAI, right here on the East Coast, WLIB. I can go on and on, Metro Media Television. And he certainly shared some nuggets with this evening. So I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you all for tuning in tonight for another edition of Progressive News Weekly. I can assure you that next week will be another highlighted episode of information that you won't typically hear on mainstream media. And as we don't do often, but we're going to do it again tonight, we're going to close with the same bumper tune that we opened up with, because it's so apropos. We need to wake up, folks. We need to wake up and live. So I thank again my listener from Ohio. Love you out there, and you know that. And tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Let's exponentially increase the numbers this year, because there's power in numbers. Of course, there's power in knowledge, but it must be used and it must be spread. So until next week, wishing you all well. Tell someone you love them, because otherwise they may not know, and tomorrow's not promised. Of course, I want to end that on that note, saying I love you all. Peace and blessings. Until next week, let's wake up and live.
Love you.
And live. Love you too.